We want to see an orderly transition to a democratic government, to economic reforms, exactly what the protesters are seeking.
That is Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and that appears to be the buzz phrase for the week in Washington anyway. Transition to democracy. For a look at what is ahead for the week for the rest of us, we're joined by Rana Faruar. She's Assistant Managing Editor at Time Magazine. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank
and
you.
Noelle King, Associate Producer for The Takeaway. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
All right, so transition to democracy, that's coming out of the Obama White House and out of Washington. Noelle, what was that kind of correspond with your week's agenda phrase?
My phrase for the week is beyond prediction. I think the events of the Middle East are going to dominate everyone's agenda, but I think the only thing we can really say for certain is that nothing is certain at this point.
And Rana?
Well, my phrase for the week is wealth gap, and I think that that's really what the core issue here is here in Egypt. There's high unemployment. There's a growing wealth divide. That's one of the reasons that you're seeing protests, and neither the economy nor the politics of that country has been open.
But, I mean, clearly that's the kind of gap that exists in a lot of countries in that region of the world, which is probably making a lot of people nervous. Let's talk about what's going on with Egypt's economy, and a lot of people are worried, the Egyptians included, that tourists are leaving in droves. The United States is airlifting its citizens out. The ports are closed. A lot of businesses shut down. Is Egypt's economy going to be completely ruined, at least for a short period of time?
Well, the economy had been weak to begin with, and that's really the fundamental problem here. This was the problem in Tunisia as well. You have very bureaucratic, very tightly held economies by the state. Unemployment is very high. The headline number is 10%, but really it's probably double or triple that in these countries.
So, I mean, emerging, I mean, how long does Egypt have? I mean, do they have to immediately get a new government in place in order to bring some kind of economic recovery out of chaos?
I think it's going to be a slow slog. I mean, yes, they need to do a lot of things very quickly. This whole transition to democracy in 6 months thing is kind of, yeah, you know, a joke, really. It's been years. It's going to take years. What concerns me is that the rising oil prices that have come off of this unrest are actually going to dampen other emerging markets around the world, and that's really going to hurt the world's poorest people who spend about 50% of their income on food and oil alone.
So it's also true that many of the concessions in Egypt are owned by the ruling party and
yes,
people close to the government, so that transition of those assets will
yes,
take quite a while.
Absolutely.
You know, Noelle, the news coming out of Egypt has completely eclipsed the story that you went to Africa to report on, which is this amazing news that I guess reportedly 99% of voters
99.57% of southern Sudanese voted to secede from the north. It's an overwhelming number. It's not a surprising number. We expected that it would be a high number of Sudanese who would vote to secede. What the south might be eclipsing just a little bit is what happened this weekend in northern Sudan. Remember, northern Sudan is just south of Egypt. It is Muslim and Arab dominated. And in Khartoum, this is surprising, there were protests, there were youth in the streets clashing with police. I spoke to a couple of young people in Khartoum yesterday, and they told me something really interesting. There are two sort of ossified, calcified opposition parties in Sudan. One of them is run by Hassan Tarabi, who's an ally of Osama bin Laden. He makes the West very nervous. The other is the Umma Party that's been around since the 1940s. What the young people in Khartoum were telling me yesterday is this is the first time that they've taken to the streets on their own, and they've decided to sort of skip over the opposition parties and just form protests on their own right. So it's very, very interesting. They are taking their cues from Egypt. They don't expect it to come too much, at least to come to too much from what they were telling me, but it is sort of an exciting moment in Sudan.
But is it overstating it to draw a line on these winds of change from southern Sudan straight around to Tunisia in North Africa? Is that overstating?
No, I don't think. I mean, Tunisia, you know, I was in southern Sudan when the first Tunisian protests erupted, and I remember everybody saying, you know, we wonder if this is part of a bigger thing.
But it's maybe inspired by the independence in Sudan, which, of course, Rana, leads us to wonder who's the next country to topple if this is a domino line.
Well, it could be any number of those in the Middle East. People are talking about Yemen, Algeria. I think really in a broader way, this says something to autocratic governments everywhere, that these types of systems are very dangerous. They do well sometimes in boom times, as we've seen with China, for example. But China opened its economy. A lot of the Arab countries haven't.
Well, and with what you were saying earlier was that this is a product of a wealth gap.
Yes.
Then again, there are some extraordinarily vulnerable countries in that region where the wealth gap is so wide.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have young populations as well. The demographics of the Arab world put a lot of pressure on this as well.
Yemen being the best example.
Absolutely.
Probably there. Let's look at Washington. So the statements out of Washington seem to suddenly be embracing Voices in the street. These are governments that are very close to Washington. Do you see the winds changing in Washington all of a sudden?
Well, I hope so, and I hope that Washington gets behind the protesters in the street. One of the things that had been very encouraging in the beginning is that people were protesting about what was happening inside their own countries. They were finally saying, look, our own governments, we've got a real problem here. They're corrupt. You know, it was not about blaming the outsider, and I think that we need the U.S. to get behind them so that this reform process can start.
Well, I mean, if you're just thinking of the United States economy and its place in the global economy, which is more dangerous for the U.S., the protesters succeeding in wiping out any trace of the Mubarak government, or some semblance of the Mubarak government remaining in place even if he is forced to flee the country?
Well, I think that stability and a nonviolent transition is an important thing. But I think ultimately this is already going to dampen the U.S. economy in the following way. Because of rising oil prices, you're going to see emerging economies all over the world slow down. Most of the Fortune 500 in the U.S. send about 50% of their exports to these countries. So we're going to see probably an export slowdown in the U.S. to a certain extent off the back of this.
Well, and Noelle, you were saying that your phrase for the week is that we can't predict what's going to happen. But you've been speaking with people from Africa and from the region. Are they making predictions?
They are. No, they're not, actually. I think the smart money is on we can't say what's going to happen next, in all honesty.
So everyone's just pretty much watching Egypt.
Watching and waiting and in some cases marching in the streets.
Now, when you said you hope that the Washington administration embraces the protesters, is that something you personally want, or do you think that strategically is the only real option? Washington?
Well, I think to the extent that these protests focus on the need for reform within these countries, it's important for us to back that effort.
All right, that is the assistant managing editor of Time Magazine, Rana Furuhar, and our managing producer for The Takeaway, Noelle King. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.